Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
If you would, go towards the end of the New Testament, not quite all the way, to 2 Peter. You may even want to start at the back of your Bible, start at the concordance and just flip backwards. It might be easier. But I want us to draw some thoughts, if you will, from the second time that Peter writes to us. And there's really one key word I want us to focus in on, zoom in on, if you will. And it's a word that appears 106 times in Scripture. It's the word beloved. What a wonderful word, beloved. Now, of course, all 106 times do not come from Peter. And time would escape us in our allotted time right now to look at all 106. But we can look at four of them, if you will. And we're going to be in the third chapter in just a moment. As we look at Peter's writings, we officially have two letters penned by Peter in our New Testament. And they're aptly named 1 and 2 Peter. They come towards the end of the epistles section. That begins with the book of Romans, which we just had a wonderful reading from a moment ago, and concludes with Jude. So that's really your largest section, content book-wise at least, or number of books, I should say, of the New Testament. But I say officially wrote. There is a thought, which may be, maybe not, that Mark's account of the gospel may have actually been Peter's account that he told to Mark. And Mark may have written that down. And you can kind of see that with some of the events that happened. But nonetheless, for our official purposes, Peter wrote two epistles. And they're very unique and that they work in harmony together, but not like 1 and 2 Corinthians, where Paul writes 1 Corinthians to correct a problem, problems, and then he writes 2 Corinthians to commend them for fixing that. Peter, in both of his epistles, addresses the same problem from a different angle. 1 Peter is longer. It has 5 chapters, and it deals with the problems that the church will face from the outside in. Those on the outside of the church wanting to harm the Lord's church. 2 Peter also talks about problems, but it's problems that arise among its own members. Talking about false teachers, talking about apostasy as well. See, when we are guarding ourselves, dear friends, against the wiles of the devil, we've got to stop him from coming into the church. But at the same time, we must work inside the walls of the church, if you will, knowing, of course, the church is members, not a building. I get that. But for that illustration, we must work inside the four walls of the church as well. We wouldn't just let anybody off the street walk in and get up and proclaim a message without vetting him first. We wouldn't let anybody come in and make a suggestion on things that we should change in the order of worship just because they think we should. Even if a member makes a suggestion, if it's not vetted in Scripture, we're not going to do it. So we must be careful to guard the church from within as well. And we're going to see that as we get here to chapter 3. Notice here, I want to key in the word beloved 4 times in the 3rd chapter and let that guide our study before us. Verse number 1 through 4 is beloved number 1. Notice this. This second epistle, beloved. See, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to people that Peter may have well known, not just loving them in the sense of they're Christians, so I love them, but loving them, he may have actually had a deep relationship with them. Notice, I now write unto you in both which I stir you up by your pure minds, by the way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He says, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's one long sentence. Verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Number 1, beloved, what? Don't be discouraged about heaven. Don't be discouraged about heaven. Peter says, I am writing to you more or less to remind you of things that you already know. Didn't Paul do that as well in his writings? He said, Timothy, I want to stir up in you these things you've known from a youth. Oftentimes, we just need to remind Christians of things they already know. Because sometimes you forget, or maybe it's not forefront of your mind, so you don't recall it as quick as that. But why? He says, verse 2, you need to go back to the Bible. Anytime a problem arises, you go back to the Bible, back to the holy words that us apostles, see, he's an apostle, that we gave to you, the commandments of our Lord. Why? Verse 3, knowing this, that scoffers are coming into the church, walking not in the ways of thus says the Lord. They're not walking in the light, 1 John 1:7. They're walking after their own lust, saying what? Where is the promise of his coming? You know, we live in a unique time compared to the people that Peter wrote to. Because there were people that Peter wrote to that would have been alive when Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth. There were people that could have seen a miracle, could have benefited from a miracle. People could have been in Jerusalem when Jesus was killed. They could have heard Jesus say, I'm going to come back. And so a problem arose in the first century, as you're now 30, 40 years from the time of Christ. People were wondering, when's he going to come back? They thought it was more of an immediate thing, and when it didn't happen in their lifetimes, they were troubled. Of course, we now know there's been about 2,000 years he hasn't come back, and he could very well come back before we finish our lesson tonight. But see, there were people coming from within saying, where is the promise? And if the promise of him coming back is not true, these scoffers say, then that means everything else he said also has to be a lie. Number one, beloved, don't be discouraged about heaven. Because it is a surety, you can take it to the bank. Jesus Christ is going to come back, and heaven is a real place. Number two, drop down to verse number 8. He's still on this same thought. He says, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. What is this, beloved? Number two, the Lord wants you to be right. The Lord wants you to live in a right relationship with him. Keep that thought going. See, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with great noise, the elements be burned up with fervent heat, the earth, all the works that are therein shall be burned up. You notice what Peter says? The Lord wants you to be right. The Lord's not willing that anybody should perish. God doesn't really want anybody to be disobedient. So why doesn't he just make everybody obedient? Well, if he makes everybody obedient, what's the point in coming to church? If he makes everybody just be obedient and just makes everybody saved, what's the point in sending his son from heaven to die for us? It's only beneficial for us if I can make that choice. I don't want to live like the world. I want to live for him, like him. So he gives us the choice. But God doesn't want anybody. That's why he is long-suffering. Read that as he suffers long. That's why the Lord has not come back yet. He's trying to give more time for people to respond. Maybe you've heard at a gospel meeting or such a prayer uttered such as this, Lord, if you could just delay your coming through the end of the lesson, maybe somebody here can hear something they need to turn their life around. See, we don't know when he's coming back, but he is. See, the Lord wants all of us to be right. And you can be right tonight. Number three, go down to verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Number three, beloved, what? He says, be ready when he returns. See, heaven is real. He wants you to be right, and for you to be right, he wants you to be ready when he's coming back. Now, is that today? Could be. Is that tomorrow? It could be. But you know, the Lord could let this earth stand for 10,000 more years. We don't know. And you know, if we knew the day he was going to come back, people could live a debaucherous life up until that day. If you knew Jesus Christ was going to come back on the last day of July, and he was going to come back at 4:55 in the afternoon, guess what you could do up to until 4:54? Anything in the world you want to. And then you make your life right there at the end, bada bing, bada boom, you go to heaven, all is good. But you don't know when he's coming back. So you can't bank on a last minute trying to slide in. That's why he wants you to be ready when he returns now. because it could be at the morning or in the noonday as we sing in the song. He says you need to be diligent. He's already talked about diligence in chapter 1 and verse number 5. Besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness to charity. He says diligence again in verse 10. Wherefore the rather, giving all diligence to make your calling and election sure. Paul uses the same word in the Greek in 2 Timothy 2. Study to show thyself approved is give diligence. Give extra special attention. Or as my great-grandmother said, extra. Extra special attention. You better circle this one and get it right. Why? He says give the diligence. Be ready when he comes. But finally, number 4, verse number 17. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye then know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. Beware what? Beware of falling away. Beware of once being right, and then the Lord delays His return, His Son's return, and so you fall away. So how do you fix that? Notice verse 18 changes, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you prevent falling away? Well, if you keep growing every day, you have no chance to fall away because you're constantly working on living a better life, a more faithful life to Him. So Peter really sums it up with the word beloved, doesn't he? Don't be discouraged about heaven. We see the Lord wants you to be right, but you better be ready when He comes. So you must keep growing in the Lord. And that's a nice message for you and I to take to heart as well. Because we are also the Lord's beloved, because He died on the cross for you, and He died on the cross for me. Now the question becomes, are you going to make good of His sacrifice? Or are you just going to leave Him hanging there? I wouldn't. I would become obedient today if I haven't already by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Go down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. Then you remain faithful to the very end, which that's the long leg of the journey that most Christians will be in for the rest of their lives. And it's a daily thing, continuing to give diligence, always being ready for His return.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Brother Dearman, and glad to have you along with us here, friends, on Reading the Word. You can listen to this program again anytime online in its entirety at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says radio programs. From there you can find this is program 156, simply titled Beloved. I thought we would spend the remaining minute and a half that you and I can spend together simply reading God's Word. And I want to read to you from the New Testament General Epistle of James. James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of Jesus Christ and of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So shall the rich man fade always in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That's the first 12 verses of the book of James. Dear friends, thank you for being with us once again. This has been Reading the Word anytime online, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you and may He keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.